You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now that the interest rate decisions have come and gone and we finally got some clarity around what the US Fed plans to do from interest rate perspective, all eyes are now arguably going to be shifting towards the elections in the US. As that election race draws closer, as November draws closer, it's definitely going to be an interesting time to see how that election race affects markets, how it continues to shape up, and how we make sense of it. And to help me make sense of what this could potentially mean for markets and for sentiment at the moment, I'm joined on the line by Sebastian Mullins, who is head of multi-asset and fixed income at Schroders Australia. Good evening, Sebastian. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by taking a look at the current kind of election campaigning that's been taking place. Have markets started to sway in any particular direction, or markets kind of leaning any particular direction, whether it's Democratic or Republican at this stage?
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. It's a good question, and it's kind of hard to really dissect right now because you're thinking about what market is pricing and you kind of break it up into two potential scenarios. I've seen one party say that normally when the incumbent party wins the election, because markets don't like uncertainty, that typically drives the S&P higher. So some are saying higher S&P numbers right now sort of lead the market to price in a Harris victory. That said, it's kind of hard to see now given the fact that Trump is leading on tax cuts as one of his main policy agenda items. So that would also likely push equities higher. So I think it's too early to say right now if the market is pricing anything. That said, if you look at betting odds, which is a type of market, that's showing Trump slightly ahead as of last week, but neck and neck, to be totally honest. It's really hard to see who could potentially win at this point, given we're still 6 weeks out from the election.
Sebastian, when we look at the two different parties or two different candidates, they also kind of represent two different policy directives. We know very clearly, as you alluded to, the stance that presidential candidate Trump has on taxes and on American economy versus what the current deputy or current vice president would have in mind. How do we understand the policy conversation around it, understanding that whichever party wins, we could either see a continuation of the current policy or a change of policy?
The thing we have to think about in both scenarios is, one, we kind of know what Trump's policies are because he's pretty much running on the same campaign he did when he was in office. So it's more of a known, and we can talk about that in a moment. But when it comes to Harris, I think her policies, they haven't been fleshed as much as you'd expect at this point in the race. And I think, A, because she's a new entrant, if you think about how long the election's been going, but also it doesn't really work in her favor to release too many policies right now. So the big difference, we'd say, would be the tax cuts. Based on how the Senate and the House elections coming up, it seems harder for Harris to have a blue wave where she wins both houses. Possible, but seems less likely. So it seems more likely that either candidate would win with a divided Congress, which means when it comes to tax cuts, it could be harder for either party to get their votes through. That said, if you believe both of them deliver on what they promised, Trump would be cutting taxes, rolling off his tax cuts he already had in place because they're expected to mature soon, to continue those. But there's also talk about reducing taxes on corporates from 21 down to, say, even 20 to 15, whereas Harris is saying she wants to increase tax rates. Now, that would have two very likely different impacts to the economy, but I would say it'd be harder for Harris to put that through. Again, we do not think she's going to win in a blue sweep.
Sebastian, what does an S&P 500 or a U.S. economy look like if President Trump returns? Does that look better or worse from an investment point of view, a sentiment point of view, and just a general sense of risk?
There's probably, three components to that question. One is what happens to the economy, what happens on earnings, what happens to equity markets. So we start with the first one. What happens in terms of policy on the economy? If Trump were to win, I mean, you can categorize his policies into sort of four main ones in two separate buckets. The first one being policies that would lead to higher inflation. So those are the immigration policies and the tariff policies. Now, immigration is a big concern for the country, but people entering the workforce more recently, whether it be legal or illegal immigration, has actually pushed inflation lower because you've seen wage costs go down. And mechanically, it's pushed unemployment higher. So if he just delivers on his immigration policies, you would see mechanically unemployment fall, but wage costs go higher, which is inflationary. Tariffs, we know, have their own impacts on goods. He's saying to put 10% tariffs on all goods and 60% on China goods. That said, you know, Harris or even Biden, when he was in power, he didn't remove any of Trump's tariffs. So it's hard to say one would be more aggressive on China than the other. But to offset those inflationary policies I mentioned with the immigration and tariffs, this is deregulation and tax cut plan. So deregulation, you know, removes red tape, uses profits, allows banks to lend, and then tax cuts allow, you know, margins to improve and the economy hopefully to improve because of that sort of fiscal spending by not collecting as much money. Those two growth components should offset the inflation components and lead it to a higher GDP or nominal GDP under Trump than Harris. That said, impact on earnings, they're questionable because, first of all, he can do two of the things with executive order, but he can't do tax cuts without Congress. So while we think in aggregate that will lead to better corporate earnings under a Trump than Harris presidency, with higher tariffs and wage growth, a lot of these things might lead to volatility. So it should lead to higher nominal earnings, higher utilizations. So we do assume higher earnings under Trump. But then what does that mean to the S&P? Well, that should be good for the S&P, but typically the market follows earnings over medium term. Short term, it could be volatile. So negative factors like mismatched timings between the inflationary policies and the tax cut policies could lead to some wobbles in the market. That might lead to higher bond yields, it could put pressure on earnings. So long story short, it'd be positive for earnings and positive for the S&P and for the economy, but likely with far more volatility with those change in sentiments, depending on how his rhetoric evolves while he's president.
Sebastian, what about emerging markets? How are emerging markets, and I suppose largely the rest of the world and the rest of the global economy, likely to respond to, say, a Harris-Waltz, a win for the Democrats? Is that likely to continue to spur on confidence within the markets? Is that likely to have a dampener on that?
So I think the Harris victory, if you think about emerging markets as your first point, again, I'm not sure if they will remove any of the current tariffs in place. So if you think about Biden, he kept all of Trump's tariffs. And in fact, he increased them by putting 100% tariffs on solar and EVs. So I think Harris might have less rhetoric. So you're not going to see tweets, you know, from President Trump calling Xi things online like we saw back when he was in power. But I don't see necessarily a China-friendly call it outcome from either party. If anything, Trump might be doing that to get a deal. So when it comes to China, I think that's probably still an issue from the U.S. EM ex-China, I think it's case by case. So countries like India should do well. Commodity-linked countries like South Africa might do well if you see just stability and geopolitical stability in place. Probably more important is the Federal Reserve delivering interest rate cuts. So that 50 basis points right now allows the rest of the world to start their cutting cycle, less pressure on emerging market currencies, less interest expense for those borrowing in dollars. So that's probably going to see a more beneficial backdrop for emerging market countries ex-China, whereas the China question is probably still going to be in the crosshairs, regardless who wins.
Certainly some interesting times ahead, and we're going to keep an eye on these developments as they continue to unfold, because the US election, whether we like it or not, has a bearing on financial markets, on global markets, and on global sentiment. I think we'll leave it at that, Sebastian. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Sebastian Mullins, head of multi-asset and fixed income at Schroders Australia, sharing his thoughts around the potential impacts of the US elections on markets.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.